today on Real Radio.
Thoughts about life, thoughts about death, thoughts about heaven and hell, thoughts about sin and forgiveness, eternal life, deep thoughts. Thoughts that much of the world, most often the world, does everything to avoid. God is so good, in your face, he puts the truth.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called "Is That Your Final Answer?" continues in a series entitled Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 6 today, verses 15 through 18. In this chapter, we find that we cannot be saved from our sins just by doing good or by obeying the law. We can only be saved by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, and only Him. In these final verses of the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul tells us how much God wants to bless us. He does this by giving us a brand new start. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become a new creation in Him. Old things are now passed away as we embrace the Lord's gospel of grace. Christ also redeemed us from the law, purifying us to be His own people. Pastor Jack tells us that we have two paths that we can take. Will we choose the path of legalistic, self-righteous living bound by the law? Or will we receive the message of grace and truth through salvation in Christ? What is our final answer when it comes to Jesus Christ? And now in his lesson called, Is That Your Final Answer? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
There is an absolute supernatural event that takes place when the gospel is preached. Paul delivered the message of the cross. He gave the message of Jesus Christ. It landed into the ears of the hearer and went into the heart of that listener. And Paul, as it were, pulled away, for he had done his job. He backs up, and there the intercourse or the communion takes place between the sinner and the Savior. The message comes via human means, but it is a divine message. And the proof of the divine message is that when the message is delivered, God begins to work in that new believer's life, and a whole transformation takes place. Everything begins to change. But if you were to interview that believer right in the middle of what's taking place, that believer would confess, as we can today, we didn't do anything. We heard it. It was reasonable, logical to us. It made sense. On top of it, there was the stirring of our, we would say maybe inner being, our person on the inside. It really began to stir us up to think very, very personal thoughts. Thoughts about life, thoughts about death, thoughts about heaven and hell, thoughts about sin and forgiveness, eternal life, deep thoughts. Thoughts that much of the world, most often the world, does everything to avoid. God is so good, in your face, he puts the truth. He doesn't hide it from us. He says, this is my son, Jesus Christ. What will you do with him? What will be your answer to his claims and to his message? And now Paul brings those hearers one more time back again to what he delivered to them in person. He writes now to them in his own hand this letter of Galatians. Will you take the path of legalistic self-righteousness of the law? Or will you receive the message of grace in truth that comes through Jesus Christ, salvation? And so Paul is going to challenge one more time his audience to listen and to hear and to conclude. He might ask them today, if we were watching a program, you know, he might say something like, you know, is that your final answer? And that's very important. My friend, this morning I want to ask you, what is your final answer regarding Jesus Christ? What's your final answer? Is it Jesus or is it legalism? That's what Paul is saying. Very important. Strikes true to every one of our hearts this morning. Where are we with Jesus? Where are we with him? Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. Paul says, for in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision avails or profits you anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Wow. What's he saying? Look with me at verse 15. First of all, in Christ. Can you highlight that in your Bible? In Christ. That's the key. That's in this day and age what you and I need to be asking people. We don't need to ask people any longer. Let's stop fooling ourselves. When we ask a stranger on the street, do you believe in God? People will say they believe in God. And to their definition, they believe in God. Of course I believe in God. I'm not a pagan, somebody will say. But that's not a good enough answer. You can even say, I believe in Jesus. What does that mean? I want to ask you, what does that mean? I need to hear your personal definition to see if it aligns with what God has said in the Bible. Not that I'm the judge or any of us in here are the judge, but we are to know. You see, you can't make up your path to God or else Jesus died in vain. And we know he didn't die in vain. So this is very important. Are you, am I in Christ? The word in Greek means to be completely submerged in him. We would also maybe invoke the word baptizo or baptized. We have been baptized in Christ, not water. That's baptism in water. We're talking about being baptized into Christ. If you are converted or saved, or if you're going to heaven, it is because you have been one who has entered into, allow me to put it this way, a vehicle that will deliver you to heaven. And that vehicle, if I can put it that way, is the salvation of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. You see, well, I come from a long line of pastors and priests. Well, pastors, priests wouldn't work, right? Because they're single, right? So pastors. I was going to say, you know, you can be the son of the Pope, but you can't. I guess you can't be the son of the Pope, but I come from a long line of ministers. And your point being? Well, my mom, my grandma, my great-grandma played the organ in the church. What's your point? Do you know God personally? Well, I've attended this church since it started in the house. Or I've been a member of the, you know, First Baptist for 50 years. What's your point? Do you know Jesus Christ personally? Are you in him? Here's the amazing thing. All those who are in Christ, they know that they are. To those who are maybe religious, even quite possibly legalistic, as was much of those that attacked the Galatian believers, they were very moral people. And they went to synagogue or church weekly, but they didn't know God personally. They didn't have a relationship like you have with, say, someone in this life. Do you know how it is to have a relationship with someone in this life? Someone help me out here. If you have a relationship with somebody in this life, give me some of the situations. Like, spend time with them. Come on, something else. Communicate. Keep going. You know what they're like. Hang out together. How about this? Let's go a little bit deeper. You ever have a discussion or a debate with each other? Of course. It's part of the great part of the... What about an argument with one another? Is that possible? Mm-hmm. Love? Yeah. Fun? You bet. Experience? Yes. Things in life, daily, moment by moment? Absolutely. Can you this morning say that that's my relationship with Jesus? Sometimes we argue. Let's be honest. Don't we argue with God sometimes? Lord, I want you to sit down. I'm going to tell you something. You ever do that? I never do that, but you must do that. We have that talk with him. Then he says to us, now you sit down. Yes, Lord. Do you know that relationship? Do you know what it's like when he says, I want you to do this, and you don't like it? You don't want to do that. Then you have a personal relationship with Jesus. When he says, don't you love these times? When he says, I want you to do that thing that's in your heart. Do it. Lord, are you sure? I mean, I love it. That's why I want you to do it. Really? Totally? Completely? Go. Are you sure? And it's so funny. We will question him forever about what he's told us to do, and it's something we love. And then if he says, now don't do that, and we'll, what, this? And we'll go right in without even asking him about it. Are we not kids? We are children. But are you his child this morning? That's a question only you can answer. But listen, you better answer it, and you better have a final answer quick before time expires for you. And so as we look to this study, it's very, very important. Look with me, first of all. When he says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails or profits anything, but a new creation. Will you underline that? A new creation. It doesn't mean how religious you are or how, listen, how wicked you are. It doesn't mean how moral or how immoral. That God, through Christ, invites the world to come to him, not remodeled, not renovated. How does he invite us to come? Brand new. A new creation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there the Bible says in verses 16 and 17 that we that have come to know Jesus Christ, all things have been passed away. The old life is gone. It's dead. And we've become a new creation in Christ. Some of you need to hear that right now. Whatever has gone on. Now, technically, in the Greek word of 2 Corinthians 5, it means this, that every day we live, even as believers, what happened yesterday is gone. In the negative, that which is of God remains positive. Man, what a deal. Are any of you investors? Listen to this deal. If you are in Christ, all of your wicked past, even yesterday, Mr. Christian, Mrs. Christian, those things that you thought and did that was wrong, that I thought and did yesterday that was wrong, even though I'm a Christian, when I sin, God removes those things. He doesn't want us to remember or recollect on the past, but we're to look forward to the future in Christ. Every day is passed behind us in such a way that every morning, he says, there are new mercies every, what? Morning. I don't know about you. That's good. Yeah, but you know what? I've been worrying about it. I got a lot on my mind. Look, if you're not a Christian, keep it. But if you're a Christian, give it up. He says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. He either meant it or he didn't mean it. I suggest we test him and see if he meant it. Or we can say, Lord, this has been a really, really bad day in my estimation, but you're God. I haven't liked it at all. I'm pretty concerned about some of these things. Frankly, I'm worried about some of them. But you asked me to give me my care. So I'm giving it to you now. Lord, I'm going to bed. I love you. God, good night. And you do what D.L. Moody did when he preached a great crusade in Chicago. And his grandson was with him. And we know this because his grandson wrote it down and put it into a book. And somebody, in fact, asked him, what did you see the great evangelist of the world, Dwight L. Moody, do at night after a great crusade? Did he fast? Did he pray? Did he spend hours before God? And A.F. Pitt writes down in his book, he says, no. In fact, I was with him that one night where his great crusade in Chicago. He came upstairs in the hotel. We flung the door open. And he says, I began to hang my clothes up. And he said, my grandpa takes off his overcoat, kicks off his shoes across the room, and you know, he weighed over 300 pounds. Dwight L. Moody jumped, he said, with one leap onto the bed, boom, And he said, "Good night, Lord, I'm tired." And he went to bed. You say, well, can somebody do that? If you have a relationship with Jesus, Dwight L. Moody can do that, and so could you. God knows everything. Lord, I'm giving it to you. You gave me the promise. I didn't, Lord, with all due respect, I didn't promise you anything. You're the only promise keeper in the universe. And even if I was to promise you something, I'd make a mistake. So, Lord, I'm giving you my cares and concerns. Good night, Lord, I'm tired. And you go to bed. Have you noticed that when you wake up in the morning, because there's new mercies every morning, that problem that was huge is not quite as big? Have you noticed? You say, yeah, but it's still there. Yeah, but have you noticed the energy you've got now to meet it, that new morning? Aren't you glad that days come to an end? I am. New creation. We start things all new when we come to Christ. Another thing that he says, which really blesses me, and you need to mark this, is in verse 16. He says, for as many as walk according to this rule. See, wait a minute. I thought Paul has been arguing six chapters that there's no rules to keep. There's no commands to go by. There's no law over us anymore. That we have now in Christ Jesus, we're not subservient to the law. That's true. By the law, you can't get saved. And you can't keep the law because it's perfect. And we are imperfect because the law is holy. We are unholy. So what rule is he talking about then? He says, we need to walk according to this rule. Can I keep the rule? This is the best part. Look at your Bible. He said, and mark it, a new creation, circle that, and draw a line to the new rule. The rule is, I'm a new creation. That's the rule. In other words, we would ask the question, are you born again? When Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven, we ask the question, are you, am I born again? We will, at the very least, before the throne of God, answer that question, yes or no. What's your final answer? Paul is saying to the Galatian churches, what are you going to decide? Faith in Christ? Receive salvation and holiness and righteousness from God? Or are you going to go and try to pull it off your way in your own efforts? One will lead you straight to hell. The other one will lead you straight to heaven. One is all of Christ. The other is all of man. Which one will you go? What's your final answer? Pretty direct, isn't he? Pretty clear. Well, God wants us blessed, my friend. And that's why Paul's laying it down as he is. There's a new reality. He wants us to be of that mindset that we are people that are heaven bound. God wants us blessed. He wants us to have his joy and his encouragement and his blessings in our life. But there's a way. In verse 16, he says, peace and mercy be upon them. You should mark the them. Who's the them? When you study the Bible, you want to know, who's the them? The thems I want to find out about. Well, when he says peace and mercy, immediately I want peace and mercy, and I want to know what it means, and I want to know where I'm at in this group. He says peace and mercy upon them. So you say, who is that? And, someone else, another group, upon the Israel of God. Who are they? So I want to know two things. What is peace and mercy? What does it mean in Scripture? And I want to know, who's it for? Who are the thems and who are the those of the Israel of God? And I think you know the answer. The thems are all Gentiles who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's predominantly us. If you're not Jewish, then you're Gentile. You say, well, yes, but I'm African. You're a Gentile. Half Portuguese and German and Irish. A Jew would say, who cares? You're a Gentile. It's either Jew or Gentile. So the thems are us. And what about us? Hey, he says, God has provided to you and me peace and mercy. We want to, in our little personal journal, say, okay, if I'm a Christian, then I should know and have peace and mercy in my life. And if I am of the Israel of God, I am a Jewish person having a Jewish background who's now come from the Old Testament scriptures come to understand that Jesus Christ is the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world. Both are born again. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile. Jesus says you must be born again. By the way, who did he say that to in John 3? A Jew or a Gentile? He said it to a Jew. But is it not preached by Peter to the Gentiles as well? Absolutely. Have you come to that place to say, Lord, I want to be born again? What is the born again? What is that? Technically in the Greek, it means to be born from above. I've had a birth from beneath. That is this earth. I'm obviously me standing here now. My mama gave me life here in this world. But I need to be born a second time from above through the Holy Spirit. Have you been born from above? This is what Paul is saying. To all those who have been, their life will be blessed. Why? God wants them blessed. And he wants us to have encouragement. He wants us to be strengthened. But he wants us to be united, because the word peace here means no longer fighting with God. Remember when, before you came to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, remember how we fought with God? I know how I did before I was a Christian. I was too smart to believe in evolution, but too stupid to bow and bend my knee to Jesus. I didn't know. And so I thought this, if I could just get God to look over there while I ran around and did this, I could pull the wool over his eyes. Hey, God, look at that guy over there. He's so bad. Look over there. Look at those people. And then, whoom, I'm running this way. Little did I know that God sees all. He knows all. I try to do the Jonah thing, you know, and run. Have you, with me, been caught by God? Did he not go after you? Did he not go after me and find us where we were? Where were you? He knew. He knows all. And he pursues us still. Are you not a Christian yet? God was with you last night. Oh, he was. He saw everything. He knows your thoughts. My thoughts, every one of them. Yes, but my motive. He knows your motive. He knows everything. That should cause this kind of reaction. A little tinge of fear at first. But then should lead you quickly to call upon the name of the Lord to ask him to forgive you. And then as that fear rises up, man, release and forgiveness comes. And it's like, yes, this God, I want to know. He wants us united. No more warring. Peace. No more fighting with God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, Is That Your Final Answer? Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you've made Christ your final answer, because he is the only way towards everlasting life. Is That Your Final Answer? It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion, a series that brings God's gospel of grace to light. Today was day one of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Radio. We hope you've enjoyed our study in Galatians, and we want to let you know, for a limited time, you can get the uncut audio version of this series on the book of Galatians for a gift of any amount by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. In this series, the Apostle Paul shares with us the gospel of grace. We can have true spiritual victory in our lives when we discover that we can't save ourselves by doing good works or by keeping the law. We are saved simply by believing in and accepting Jesus Christ. Get your copy of the Galatians series, Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.